Hey, everybody. Welcome to our Monday night session, which is a simulcast conference call between BBS Radio and a telephone line. And we have some people on our telephone line, and I'll explain why we do it this way in just a second. But would anyone like to identify themselves?
Hi, Wayne. It's Julie in Federal Way, Washington.
Hi, Julie. Thank you for being here. You're such a good anchor.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Hello, Wayne.
Oh, I heard Jim in Chicago.
Yep.
And who else?
Francis in Concord, California.
And Francis, hi. You're all good anchors. Thank you. And who else? Is there anyone else on the line? Going once. Hang on a second.
Entry chimes are off. Exit chimes are off.
Okay. Well, the big question is, where is Terry? I called her just before, and she didn't answer. So hopefully she'll be here since this call is about her. And just a moment, I think I'll start recording this. And those of you on BBS, thank you for being here. If you're tuning in for the first time, I'm not recording yet. I'll just share this with you before I start. My name is Lynn Free, and for the past quite a few years, I've had this unusual experience of communication with sources in other dimensions that identify themselves as group souls that are able to beam into this realm, love, light, energy, best way to describe it. And when we do these calls, they say they're present. And Terry is actually the voice for them, so hopefully she'll be here. But if not, you'll just have to listen to me for an hour. Wouldn't be the first time. Hang on a second, let me start the recording.
Please enter your subscriber PIN, followed by... Please wait. This conference is being recorded.
Okay, we are being recorded. And...
All callers are muted and may unmute themselves by pressing star 6.
So while we're doing this, occasionally I'm going to say, Terry, are you there yet? If you're listening and this is your first time, you'll know that I'm in Sedona, Arizona, and Terry is in Los Angeles, and she has a job, and she rushes across the street into the McDonald's parking lot, and from there we have these amazing conversations, and we ask questions and get answers right spontaneously before your very ears. And this was going to be a continuation of last week's call where I had shared the connections between Terry and a Catholic saint by the name of Saint Catherine. And this unfolded, just I'll do a quick recapitulation of last week. This unfolded when Terry would unexpectedly ask me, say, those guys want to talk to you again. And I would be having conversations with a voice that would say they were the council of Elohim. And I looked up the word Elohim, and I found definitions like the creator of this realm, the God of the Old Testament. And I asked them if they happened to be the same, which was hard for me to believe they were. And they said they were part of the same. Well, that didn't even convince me. I had to pay attention for about 2 years, asking all kinds of questions and having some miracles, having some healings take place. And I started to get the predisposition that maybe they were who they said they were. And at a certain point, I had asked them, so was Terry anybody famous ever? And they suggested that I look up St. Catherine of Siena, who was a Catholic saint. And I Googled St. Catherine, and I read about St. Catherine, and it turns out that St. Catherine was a young woman who would go to the local monastery in Siena, Italy, and when she would speak, this voice came through her that the other nuns identified or thought that God was speaking to them through her. And this happened for a number of years, and they wrote down everything she said. And St. Catherine's dialogues with God are now an official part of Catholic history. And in fact, if you Google St. Catherine's dialogues with God, the copyrights run out, so you can go download them and read them, which I did at the time. And as I read them, I saw that there was a universal wisdom that was coming through them, and it was still relating to the, how would I say it, the paradigm of Jesus, because that was necessary in order for a group of nuns to accept it. And of course, it was near enough to the time of Jesus, I suppose, that that was still an important model. And of course, it still is. I don't mean to say it isn't. It still is. And Jesus fulfilled a role which I, not in a religious sense, but in an actual sense of anchoring higher energies to this realm. And in the translation of the way people take that in present time, there's a certain degree of truth in it, and that we are not presenting something antithetical to that. We're just presenting it in a more cosmic perspective. And we usually start at the beginning of these calls with a meditation. And as those of you who have listened regularly, when we do this meditation, because we've developed a relationship with these group soul energies who are outside of time, they have the ability to vibrationally communicate with you, for you to feel them in your space, to make a vibrational connection. And so when we do these meditations, many people feel those energies present. And if you're listening for the first time, then they're not going to violate your space or force themselves upon you. You have to pay enough attention to the work we're doing to say, I think that's real, and I think it's positive, and I'm open to that kind of connection. And that's at the point they will connect. When we look at energies like this that seem overwhelming and powerful and loving that can come into your space, the way that I've learned to look at it myself is that they are us, and we are them. But we're a contracted part of them who is in what they call third density, or on planet Earth, where there's a veil in place or an obstacle to the direct perception of the greater universe. And so all of us on this planet, as far as I know, all of us are under that veil, and it's not easy to move our consciousness outside of that veil because we can't see it, feel it, hear it, touch it, taste it. None of our physical senses do it. But we can create an intention to have a group energy, and there is a physical experience that can come in with that group energy. And sometimes it's seeing light around your top of your head or through your third eye. Some people feel a tingling or a vibration move through the body. Some people just feel very peaceful. But envisioning it, imagine that you have an energy field and that your energy field is now connecting with other energy fields. So who you are becomes more expansive. You're no longer just you in the little body contracted on planet Earth. You can experience yourself as a connected energy to many other energies that are in other realms. And as you learn to have that experience more often, it's something that you can internalize and carry with you. And the people that do that find that they have great shifts in their life, because things on this planet are all a reflection. So wherever you're at in your own matrix, you're going to attract things to you and experiences to you, which are an exact reflection of your positioning, of your hang-ups, of your positive things, of your attitudes. And I'm sure many of you might have had the experience where you were very stuck and kept having the same experience over and over again. And maybe a lot of times this happens in love relationships, because you have this idea of how a relationship should feel, a romantic relationship, and it doesn't work. And then you attract another person that's just exactly like that person. And then you attract another person who is like that person. And it's kind of like you wonder, why do I keep attracting the same kind of person? It's because that person is a projection of you, of your matrix. And when you want something to shift, the easiest way for it to shift is to change your matrix. I say it's easy, but it's easier said than done. But one of the things that happens on this line is that you can change your matrix on this line just by going with our flow. And then as you become comfortable, you can integrate this into your daily experience so you don't attract the same kinds of things that you used to. And this, I know a lot of people are talking today about the law of attraction, and I think I'm explaining it in perhaps a way that correlates with all, you know, the secret and all that stuff, but it is actually a bigger picture, because it's not just you and the world, it's you and me and them and us. And we learn how to create team energies which help ourselves and help the planet shift. Now, does Terry happen to be there? Hello, Terry. Don't forget to unmute yourself if you're there. Okay. Well, what we'll do now is we will do this meditation where we bring these energies in. And I would like to suggest that for this part of the call, in fact, for the whole call, that you move yourself into a quiet location, turn off the TV, shut your eyes, get very relaxed, and give your full attention to the next few minutes. Because if you're interested, in making this connection and tuning your antenna to these higher energies, then you need to be still, start off from a still place inside of yourself. So we're going to shut our eyes and right now imagine all those people who are listening on the line. And each one is in a body, obviously, somewhere on our planet. And each one who's on this line has an energy connected to their body. And the energy is very fluid. It can expand, it can contract. And one of the things that controls that energy or impacts that energy is our intention. So right now, even though that energy is invisible, and maybe some of you wonder if it really exists, just go with the flow for a moment. And we're going to intend that our energies connect with each other and we blend the energies of all of us on the line. And we can do that just by our intention. When we do that, it's a very loving space because we're now, for this moment, we're becoming part of each other. And we are in what I believe is the experience of oneness, where even though we're separate, for this moment, we are separate in our bodies and our locations, but we are becoming one in our spirits. We had mentioned Jesus earlier, and I believe Jesus referred to this experience as communion. That's what we're doing. And you don't have to relate it to a Christian concept. It's just the way the universe works. And we are experiencing ourselves as a far more expanded matrix than perhaps we do in our normal waking consciousness. Now, we are working with our energies that are actually in other dimensions that we don't see. We extend into those dimensions. And if you recall, we said there was a veil. There was something that blocked us from expanding directly through the veil. Well, on this call, we are going to intend to expand through that veil. And on the other side of the veil, there are consciousnesses. Some of them are negative. So when we do this, we're going to invoke a lot of protection because we're all moving into a zone where we can't see or physically have physical senses to identify anything. We're in a realm of energy. And so we need to create a positive intention that only those energies that are service to other, that honor the law of one, that honor free will, can have permission to connect with our energies. So we create a safe place for ourselves and those energies that are supportive. Now, we've invited, or we've talked many times to a voice that identifies itself as Ra'an, which is a conglomerate of two of the major group souls, the Elohim group and the Ra group. And we're going to particularly invite those group souls or their representatives to share and blend our energies. We can feel them in our space. Some of you are really experiencing in the top of your head, in your crown chakra, and in your third eye, a huge amount of energy. And I believe that energy is those group soul energies joining with us. That's how I've learned to identify it. And of course, because I do a lot of channelings where Terry is a voice for those energies, we have conversations and ask them questions, and they say, that's them. And Terry, are you on the line? No, we may not have a voice today. Terry's disappeared.
So let's stay here with this meditation.
Now, what happens when we...
I was muted.
Oh, you were. Okay. Hang on, and let me just finish this, and thank you for being here.
Okay.
Mute your phone manually at the top so there's no background noise, okay? Background noise. I don't know what's going on. Okay.
All callers are muted.
Okay. You're now muted, so I'll have to unmute people to get you back in because there was too much noise, whatever you did. So let's just stay with this meditation. Let's go back to that space where we have all become integrated and blended for this moment, and that we've invited these higher energies to blend with us. Now, while we're in this state, we can do some amazing things. And I caution always to operate under the auspices of the law of one and the highest good of all concerned and honoring free will. Because if you move out of that, you will very likely start connecting with a negative source. And that's not something I don't think you want to do, although there is free will. So when we make this connection, it's a very sacred spot. And it should be treated with great respect and care, because we can do things in this connection which can be much harder to do, if not impossible, for your normal human consciousness. For example, if you have physical problems, diseases, hang-ups, hurts. When this energy is present, you can begin the process of releasing and shifting those things. Because all those things originate from other dimensions and download into the physical. And they're not easy to fix in the physical, but they can be fixed by the parts of you that are in other dimensions. And of course, we have these group souls in other dimensions who are working with us. So, and they are you. So if you can relate to them as being you,
they're going to, like, want to fix you. You're going to want to fix yourself and use them. It would be like a car mechanic who can't get his wrench in to loosen or tighten a certain bolt. And then he gets an extension, and he gets right in there and fixes it. So it's like this extension of yourself is now present. And so you can just ask it and run it through your body. And remember, the highest good of all concerned. What does that mean? It means that maybe you have a lesson you're learning from something that's screwy or that's out of balance. And so if you're learning a lesson, taking it away would take away the lesson. Like, for example, I know someone I was talking to who is quite ill right now. And she's not even aware of all the stuff I do. She's just someone that lives in town. And she's kind of lonely and isolated. And somebody put a post on a bulletin board that said, call this lady up because she might listen to this. I better watch it. Because she's not feeling well. And all these people started calling her. And I was one of them. I called her. I've met her. I don't know her that well. I just ran into her, but I just called her. And I said, you know what? This woman is learning how to receive. I don't think she knew how to receive love. She thought she had to do everything herself. So by being where she's at, she was like learning how to receive. And I have a feeling that once she learns that lesson and realizes that people care for her and love her, just because she's alive and human and people reach for her, that she'll probably have some kind of healing because she'll have learned the lesson. But prior to that, if she just had the healing, she wouldn't have learned the lesson. Now, this is my take on this. I'm not saying that's true, but I think that's something that is true for many of us, even myself. It's not easy to receive. It's not easy because so often when you receive something from someone, there's strings attached, an obligation attached. And when you start moving into having a spiritual awareness, you don't want strings and obligations. You want to be free. So the receiving has to be done through grace, where there's no obligation. Right now, we are all sharing moments of grace where we are opening up to these energies far beyond the physical, and we can allow ourselves in this moment to receive because our sources have no expectation. They only want to love us and help us heal ourselves so that we can love others. There is a responsibility, because once you start to heal yourself and you open up to your own love, there is a responsibility to share it with others. And sharing it does not necessarily mean wearing your heart on your sleeve. It can mean just having a smile, calling someone that's sick, calling, you know, taking an action where you can stay centered, not lose your center, and give to someone who needs it, and give without expectation and without obligation. And also understand they may not receive it, and that's okay. So you just move on to the next thing, to the next thing. So we're moving this energy. We can also take this energy that we've opened up to, and think of someone that we have a problem with. And let's move. Right now, you don't have a problem with that person. They're not in your field. You've let go of it. So you can now move them into your field and surround that problem with this loving energy. Just try it. Think of someone. There's no guarantee it's going to shift. But there's a good possibility, because on some level, everyone is psychic. Everyone. And people pick up things, and they act, and they don't even realize they're acting spontaneously based on an intuitive thought. I'm sure some of you have had this. I think I'll go to this restaurant today, and you meet someone there that you haven't seen in a long time. You say, what a coincidence. Well, intuitively, you probably knew something was going to happen in unconscious levels, and it provoked you to make that decision. Well, let's see. It's 6:30, and we are lucky enough to have Terry on the line. And we were talking about continuing our conversations that we started last week about St. Catherine. And I think that one of the points of interest will be how these higher consciousnesses decide and interact to make a connection with someone down here and create a outlet for their verbal voice. Now, you know, what we're doing here on this group meditation can happen to any group of people. You don't need to have a channel to do this. You can do it anytime with anyone if you raise your intent strong enough to bring the energy in. But when you have someone who can be a voice for those guys, it greatly enhances increasing, say, what's the faith level. Because it's hard to believe this is real. It was hard for me to believe that it's real. And it took me quite a bit of knocking over the head to say, oh, my God, this is real. This is really happening, and they're here. And let them say hello. We'll have now the voice that usually speaks to us identifies itself. And you notice I say identifies itself. I say that because you should be checking this out. And you make sure in your own heart that it feels right. Because anytime there's channeling, there's a couple possibilities that can always exist. And one is that the person who's channeling can bleed through some of their own personality or their own thoughts, and it gets mixed up with higher forces. And the other one is that they could slip into a negative where they're actually bringing through a negative source. Now, I don't believe that ever happens with Terry, because if I was concerned about that, I wouldn't do a public channeling like this. Her intent is really, really high to be of service. And the thing that protects people, that protects us from negative sources, is the intentions of the people involved. Because when we, just as we created an intent, high intent, strong intent to create a group energy connection, and that keeps us protected from negative sources, so does Terry, for as long as I've known her, and I've known her many, many years, always have a very pure intent. And that makes me confident that the voices speaking through us match her purity of intent, and they just might be who they say they are, which are a conglomerate of the two group soul energies, which one is called the Elohim group and one is called the Ra group, and they're both explained in my two books, Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce and Questions and Answers with the Elohim. So can we turn it over to our source right now and let them take the stage?
Oh, wait a second. Wait.
All callers are unmuted. All callers are muted and may unmute themselves by pressing star 6.
Okay, now, Terry, you'll have to push the unmute button right now. I don't hear you yet. You might have to push the star 6 button as well.
Yes.
Okay, now I hear you. Okay, so let's turn it over and get just a hello from
you call in the light?
Yes, I can. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect everyone here. And any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of our galaxy, called the Hunabku, through our bodies and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy, and we invite our sources to join with our energy. And this is really just a shortened version of that meditation I did. And we now turn it over and let them introduce themselves and their comments.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We are mindful of everyone on the line and in the radio audience, and we greet you. This is Monday, July 27, 2006. The energy on the earth plane and on the other planets and in the solar system continues to flow and to change and to push energies in ways that it has not been pushed in a while. These energies are felt on Earth, and it can create moods with individuals. It can create a draining of energy as the individual matrix of people are brought into play with the new energy in a sub-awareness way that the individual may only feel that it is harder to get grounded. It is harder to feel that unseen, confident connection with areas of his life that in the past have given him strong reliance that certain things within his life are present and there and without even thinking be relied upon. The substrata is changing, and the individual with the open heart is able to take on the changes as his chakra systems are moving at a rate and speed that is able to correlate and to incorporate change. If an individual's chakras are lessened in speed and more fixed, then one has trouble in changing with the change in flow and the change in pace and the change in frequencies that are hitting him in the earth plane. This is why when one has an open heart, one has a better chance towards ascending and to moving into a better position in his life. And as we include as part of his life, the life on Earth and the life after his transition into a higher plane, or his transition past this life into a new chapter or the next episode in his travels. Those are our opening comments.
I had scheduled to ask some questions, but before I do, I want to ask a question about something you just said. And I can see that a person could be struggling with opening their heart, and then they create a fear pattern because they can say, uh-oh, my heart's not open. I'm not going to make it into this higher level transition. How can a person deal with the fear that they're not going to make it?
One should not even consider whether they are going to make it, as they can consider it, however, only like as a not a, when one looks at things not in a uni-level way or a mono-level way, but is able to look at things in a non-linear way, one may hold two ideas at the same time. One may hold the idea that they are really, even now, traveling at some aspect of their being in the higher dimensions already, and that their travels in the earth plane are one that is transitory, and if they let go of the hanging on as if this is the only plane of existence, as if this is the only life, then they have more chance to transition into the ascension. When one doesn't consider that there are more than one level of existence all at the same time, then one clings in fear to this level, and they are clinging to something that is transitory and can move on and be destroyed as far as their connection with it. And so what does not making it mean? One, that means that one holds on to the earth level in fear of it going away, and then if it does go away in their life on earth in this density, then they have nothing to hold on to. This will happen whether they are holding on tight or not holding on, or are free to move with a flow. If one is able to let go and say, all of these levels are existing at the same time, and I don't have to worry because they're all there for me, and the fear is the thing that could bring me to be stuck in some other realm as I hold on dearly and hope for my house to continue to exist forever for me. This will keep them at the house as the way one asks it tends to be given to them. Does this shed any light on it? Hello?
It does. Yes, it does. And if one was attached to a house, for example, that might be a circumstance where one tried to be a ghost and stay in the house even after they left the physical body.
Yes, as one tries very hard in that situation to stay in this realm, to be in the same location even though their body has moved on, then they can make that happen for them. However, they don't have the body, so they cannot progress with their relationships with others. So if one is let go and goes with the flow and doesn't hang on or hold on, one can then be open to the changes that are ever and always there for them.
Thank you. We have about 5 minutes, and I wanted to ask a question about St. Catherine. And the bigger question, and I'm sorry that Terry didn't come on earlier because I would have made our meditation shorter, but that was okay. You are always, I think, looking for the opportunity to create avenues of communication into this realm. And I believe that St. Catherine was an opportunity for communication that occurred in 1300. And could you share a little bit how it looked from your side when that communication was initiated?
Yes, from our viewpoint, we see St. Catherine as a child chattering away to God and really missing a lot of the communication that he was bringing in from us around her. And as she grew older, she learned to focus upon our frequency. She was more focused on the angel frequencies as a child and heaven frequency. As she had come from heaven in an earlier lifetime to help the people of Earth, or to at least figure out why the people of Earth got so stuck into their orientations and forgot about their heaven orientation. She was not totally aware of the very, very high frequencies of the Elohim. She was more connected with the Ra energy, and we loved and delighted to send our energy through her, and she, although her focus was on the lower Ra frequencies, she would experience a higher frequency in her body, moving through her body. She always kept her anchor in the higher frequencies, and if she moved through the Earth density, she didn't know what to do with some of the stucknesses that came into her vectors, her vortex. And she tended to try to negate them with a creation of pain or deprivation within her body, which eventually got the better of her as she did not eat enough. We was using the only means she knew at the time to hold away from her negativity by using pain, and her goal was to continually experience the love of the higher frequencies and to emulate and to manifest the love from the as was in the higher frequencies, to manifest it in the lower frequencies. There are memories within Catherine of going to heal the individuals who had the plague, and praying beforehand that she would have the courage to go to the sick people without fear and the knowledge that she would not get sick, not to not nurse that fear that she would get sick, and that if her prayer and her love were strong enough, then she would not get sick. And this worked well for her. But the main thing was to be able to manifest love that is from God, to manifest it in the lower vibrations and bring it into the earth plane to earth people.
Thank you. On that note, I think we're out of time on BBS, and I thank everyone who's listening for tuning in. If you want to stay in touch with these energies, please subscribe to messageaday.net. It's a free service where we have little excerpts of channelings, and my comments that come in your inbox every day of the week. And doing so and reading them can help keep you tuned in to the higher frequencies. So we're going to say goodbye to BBS, and while we're still on the conference line, we'll see if there's any closing comments from our source, and then we'll say goodbye to everyone on the conference line.
We ground with the energy of Wind Tree, and we ground with the energy of individuals who wish to help us ground for listening on this line, and with it.